Hi, everyone. This is Catherine Adams
and Elizabeth Wallace, and you're listening to Binary System Podcast number 413. And tonight, this is it. The moment we've been waiting for quite a while. It is the final episode of Lore Olympus number 280. And of course, we are going to spoil everything.
Yes, because we have waited long enough, darn it. We successfully resisted fast passing one more damn episode.
Oh, my goodness gracious. And I'm glad we did. Now, she has said that she's going to come in, I guess, did she say an acknowledgements or an afterwards?
Afterward, I think, is what I'm very curious to see what she says, because some of this, I mean, I like the episode. Some of it felt a little rushed.
Some of it felt a lot rushed, to be honest.
But yeah, this was definitely more of a let's wrap things up episode, I think. And nothing illustrates that better than how the whole Ouranos storyline was wrapped up. And I mean, instantly.
Yeah. Okay. We'll start from the beginning. Once again, big giant spoiler warnings. So we open with Gaia, giant Gaia in all of her goddess titaness, and she looks beautiful and she seems very happy. And we see Ouranos kind of call out to her and he's like, it's great to see you. Maybe we can. And then she interrupts him.
Yes. She just looks at him and says, he doesn't belong to you. And she reaches into his chest and rips Apollo out of him and then walks away as he dissolves in this spray of ichor. And that's it. That's the end of the whole Ouranos storyline. Blink and you missed it.
So while that's happening and, you know, he's disappearing and she's turned away from him, she doesn't even watch to see that happen. She's actually poking at tiny Apollo in her hand. And she's like, are you alive? Yeah, he's good. And one of the commenters said it was like they're checking out a lizard that they just caught.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was that much concern. She drops him down in front of Artemis and says, here he is. Do with him what you will. And Artemis says, thank you, ma'am. And that's it. That's all we get. We see Apollo one more time on a TV screen. And that is the entire Apollo storyline done.
Yeah. Speaking of kind of rushed and I wish we had seen a little something. Anyway. Okay. So now Gaia is talking to Kor and Hades, or Persephone and Hades, however we're saying it now. And she's saying that it's time to set things right. And then we get a title card that says 3 months later. I'm like, what?
It was quite a jump, but I want to know, was anybody actually fooled by the whole Hades waking up alone and being kind of morose? No. I was not fooled for a second. I mean, he gets up, he pats the section of the bed where nobody's sleeping next to him. He's looking kind of sad. He gets up, he gets a shower. There's a phone call and it's Hecate. And he just responds, I'm fine. She's like, I'm just checking on you. He said, I'd be a lot better if people would stop gently asking me if I'm okay all the time.
Yep. And he gets ready and he meets up with Cerberus outside and asks Cerberus if he's ready. And they slowly walk up the stairs to the mortal realm. And then we go back to Gaia.
Yeah. And she says that they have proven that love does not have to be greedy or desiring power, that their love is true. And that's how they were able to heal her. Now, she knows that Persephone made a deal with Erebus. And Persephone's like, yes, but I did it for the underworld. Please don't change me. And Gaia says, I couldn't change it if I wanted to.
So she says that she does need Kor's help. And she says between the two of them, they can bring all the life that was lost in the plague. They can bring it all back. And Kor and Hades are very happy. But then Gaia is like, now you are a goddess who has roles in two different realms. And we're going to have to balance that out.
Yeah. And she says, to just take away all of these, you know, considerations and complications and decisions and everything like that, she's just going to assign this. Persephone will spend 3 months in the mortal realm, and then she will get to spend the rest of the year in the underworld. And she looks so pleased with herself. And then she looks down, what's wrong with your faces?
Because Hades and Kor, like, we've been separated so much, and now they're realizing that they're going to have to go through it again, and they're going to have to go through it every year, 3 months of the year. Kor is going to be in the mortal realm.
And then Gaia says, I didn't say anything about separation. And said that, of course, they can visit each other. And then when she goes back to the underworld after the 3 months, they can have a gigantic celebration. The mortals will love it, which I think is fantastic, because I think the celebration for the whichever religious sect worshiped Persephone. I think the celebration was at the beginning of spring, but now it's being turned around to her triumphant and happy return to her husband in the underworld is now a good thing.
Yeah, it's so cute. So we go back to Hades as he's walking up to the mortal realm with Cerberus, and who does he see but running up to him? It's Persephone, and she's got all of her suitcases on her, and it's just, oh, they're being reunited after the 3 months.
It's so wonderful. And there's also, you see Metis in the background, and you see Demeter with Demeter's son in the background, and everybody's happy, and like, oh, Rachel really, really, really wanted to give everybody a happily ever after in this one.
Yeah, she did. She did a good job. So even though they've been able to see each other, they've been able to visit each other, later on, Hades says something about it'll be nice to have some privacy, but right now what we see is they kind of materialize in the underworld, and they are starting some sexy good times.
Yep, yep, and they're going to go upstairs, and Persephone says, I can't wait to see that ass assistant that you hired while I was away. Because, of course, it's Hecate and Daphne and their assistants and everything, and they're all getting ready for the big coronation. So there's no time for canoodling. They've got to sew them into their tuxes and their dresses and get everything ready, and told Hades, I told you I would handle it, and tells Persephone he's been stressing about this for weeks.
Oh, it's so cute. So we cut to a news crew who is covering the coronation, and that's when they make the mention that one famous face we're not going to see on the news tonight is Apollo, because he's working off his punishment in the mortal realm, rebuilding temples, I guess. And we see a very brief image of him kind of kneeling down by some kind of wall and stacking stones and looking, I don't know, maybe a little unhappy. And that's it. We don't see Apollo ever again.
We don't see Apollo. We never see Leto. Nope. So I think the image from when he confessed on live TV and you saw her dropping a coffee cup or a teacup in shock, that's it. That's all we're going to know. So I'm going to assume that she doesn't really have any place, especially considering what we know about what's happening with Zeus and Hera now.
Oh, man. Okay, before we get to that, we go to the coronation itself, and we see Hera, and she kind of crowns Persephone, and Hades and Persephone have their own little dance in front of the group, and that's when we get a voiceover, I know it's a webcomic, but I think of it as a voiceover from Persephone talking about how much has changed in the last 3 months. And she says that living in the mortal realm has been fine, because Hades actually gets to visit, and Demeter has gotten help in the mortal realm with her duties from Metis and Rhea, and Triptolemus, which is Demeter's son, apparently is showing a talent for farming, which I suppose is what he was in Greek mythology.
I think that's exactly it. And we have all these other summaries, and you can pretty much wrap up every one of them with, they're fine.
Like, fine.
If you were worried about them, they're fine. So Thanatos and Daphne are fine. Ares is still a hound, but he's fine. Demeter and her son are fine. Eros and Psyche are fine. And they've got their children, their daughter with them. And it's just like, well, that's all you're going to find out about how they were released from captivity or anything. They're fine.
They're fine. Now, this is where Persephone says, you know, that they were able to heal Zeus, and while he still holds the title of the King of Gods, he's more of a figurehead at this point. Hera just gives him busy work.
And they're divorced, and Hera seems to be very happy, and you see a picture of Hera and Echo dancing at the party. So, yeah, so that's good. They're fine.
Yes. And Zeus, we see him briefly waving. Now, a lot of people were pointing out that, you know, the series started with a party, and it ends with a party, and it's like Zeus looking down over everybody like he was in the very first episode, and he's waving to Hades and Persephone. And he's smiling, but he definitely looks super subdued. So I got to tell you, we never get to see the moment when Hera confronts him. And that, for some reason, I really landed very hard on that one. I was like, we don't get to see anything.
We don't get to see anything, yeah. And I guess it brings everything full circle, because the first episode was the party, I think, was maybe Zeus's birthday, I think. And he was there with Hera, and Hades had just, well, he thought he had just broken up with Minthe, so he was feeling kind of bummed out, and, you know, the third wheel at the party. So now Zeus gets to feel the same way.
That's right. And amongst all the other things that Persephone was saying, she did mention that the goddesses of maternal maidenhood has been disbanded, which, when you think about it, Hestia was like one of the major people in the goddesses of eternal maidenhood, but she was having a relationship with Athena. So the goddesses of eternal maidenhood had kind of been a bit of a sham from the very beginning.
It was, yeah. And Persephone says that Artemis is spending a lot more time with Selene, the goddess of the moon. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't have to mean it's a romantic relationship, but I do like the idea that they're getting rid of this concept that a woman's value is based on how many people she has or has not had sex with. And right. I think that's probably healthy.
Yes, very much so. Now, when they mention that Eros and Psyche are doing fine, we have this very quick picture, and it really led me to believe that maybe this isn't the end, because they're saying that they're doing good and Psyche is trying to figure out her new powers and everything. And there's this picture of someone, a woman maybe with long hair. We see him from behind in far distance heading towards a mountain, and it just says, "They're still looking for Cassandra."
And I hope that's an indication of more stories and not that people were saying, "But what about Cassandra?" And she felt that she had to do a little throwaway image to say, "Yes, yes, yes, Cassandra's still out there, but not right now."
Yeah, I don't know. And that's really it for all of the summaries. You know, it was very much a tell instead of show type of thing, but we did find out that everyone's apparently fine. We even did see Hephaestus and Aphrodite in one of the panels walking to the party, so we know they're fine. So everyone's
fine. Yeah, and Semele, the mother of Dionysus,
yes.
Hades apparently got a hold of some more, I guess, the nectar of the gods or
ambrosia.
Whatever that he used. Ambrosia, yes, he got some more of that and was able to reunite Dionysus with his mother who had died in childbirth. So, or, well, died while pregnant, and then Zeus sewed the baby up into his leg. God, yeah. Greek mythology could be so weird, and I'm just so delighted that she took so many of the weirder elements and worked them into the story.
Yeah. To be honest, I seem to remember that that may have actually happened in the mythology, that when they made Dionysus into a god, they may have actually brought his mother back. I have this vague memory that that's a thing.
Well, that was, she was, you know, Zeus's lover, so I think he got to make the call on that sort of thing.
Yeah. And we kind of are wrapping up, and Persephone and Hades are dancing together, and they're basically just super grateful that everything has turned out so well. And Persephone says, "Thank you for making my life so much bigger and brighter than I ever thought it could be." And Zeus is like, "I don't think I can take credit for that." And she said, "Just say you're welcome," which is actually the title of the episode.
Yeah, exactly. And they both declare their love for each other. And it's wonderful. And definitely what I needed, what I was just crying out for with the whole 10-year separation thing going on. So yes, they do get a happily ever after, the end. And then many years later, just a little bit more.
Yep. It says many, many years later, just to let you know. Though before that, we do get a note from Rachel that says, "Through the ages, the mortals never forgot Hades and Persephone, and thus they remain forever in love." The end. Except it's not the end, because it goes many, many years later. And we get Hades' words to Morpheus when he was saying that he asked that when Melano, when it comes to that time, in the future, when Cronos grabs Melano and brings her back into the past, Hades just wanted to make sure that she would never remember it. And if Morpheus could just make it seem like a dream.
So you see Melano being woken up, someone's calling her name, and she opens her eyes, and it's Demeter, and Demeter is telling her it's time. And Melano tells her, "I had a weird dream." So good. And then what she's been brought into is, it is the day that Melano's little sister, Macaria, is born, which I think was a lovely touch to add that, to have that both happening at the exact same time. So they were able to introduce Melano to her new little sister, and you see the lovely little picture of all of them, and Hades and Persephone smiling at each other and saying, "We've come a long way, haven't we?" And you see little flickers of image from them as they were at the very beginning of the series.
Yep, and one final image of all of them sitting together and happy. That's it. That's the end.
That's it. That's the end.
So, no confrontation with Zeus, no confrontation with Leo, no confrontation with Apollo and Artemis together. We don't know how Eros and Psyche got out, and also no explanation for how Cronos was both a body and a gem, but I don't know. If there's an afterwards, maybe we'll get a little bit more. I don't know.
Maybe. Maybe she'll do a question and answer. I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. I am so, and I don't want to be a hater. I do. I love this series from beginning to end, and I'm so happy that everybody got a happy ending. But, you know, I got my quibbles, and one was the fact that it was rushed and we didn't get the answers. Also, when they're declaring their love for each other and everything, I thought it was a little cringy. I mean, they're both looking at each other and it's all in caps. I'm like, did you have to put it all in caps? I don't know that you did.
I don't know. I think she just wanted a gigantic, dramatic moment for everybody who thought they'd never be able to be together after all the star-crossed lovers thing that they've been going through.
Yeah. But they're definitely together and very, very happy and everything's good. And I even think it was nice that she was just like many, many years later, just because there had been a lot of people who were saying, well, yeah, I want them to be together. Like when they had kind of were looking after Dionysus and people were going, oh, they just got married and now they already have a baby they have to take care of. I just wanted them to have some time to have a honeymoon. Okay, they have time to have a honeymoon.
Yeah, they do. Or, well, because I remember the honeymoon itself wasn't necessarily stopped by Dionysus. It was the fact that Persephone woke up the day after her wedding really, really enthusiastic about tackling some of this administrative stuff that had gotten backed up in the underworld because she just really loves a project.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's just Persephone for you.
Yes. But it was, I mean, everything was just done so beautifully. Her dress in the scene, because he looked great in his tux, and she has this beautiful, ornate black dress, which I think is wonderful, because she's being crowned queen of the underworld. Of course she has a black dress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, God. Well, I mean, the artwork's always good. There were a couple of things, like, there was a picture of Artemis and Persephone and Selene, the goddess of the moon, taking a selfie. I didn't care for Selene's expression. I thought it was a little doofy, but
yeah. I noticed.
But that's like one of my only quibbles for the artwork, because of course, all of it was beautiful.
Yeah, every once in a while I noticed something kind of odd. You saw somebody was talking. Oh yeah, it was when Hades was talking with Thanatos. Once again, they're fine. Their relationship has gotten a lot better. But you see, what's her face? Daphne standing next to him. And I mean, it's just kind of a funny little expression on her face, but it looked like her mouth was really tilted out of kilter and everything. And I thought, not maybe up to her usual standards, not terrible, but it was just kind of like, well, her face looks weird.
I just feel like there's a story behind how everything was wrapped up. And I don't want this to be the case, but I really hope that she wasn't forced by some situation to just have to wrap things up this fast.
Right. Because that's what the rumors are. One of the rumors is that working with Webtoons has been awful and she doesn't want to do it anymore. And so she left. One of the commenters. Okay. So there was a commenter who got up in there named Prawn Star, PRAWNSTAR. And they were unhappy with how it ended. But the other thing that they were unhappy with, apparently this fan base can sometimes lean a little toxic, apparently, if everybody, you know, sees that someone is criticizing anything. Apparently people get jumped on, and I would hope that we could all agree that maybe we should be careful about doing that.
Yes, please, because if everybody is only saying nice things because they know they're going to get jumped on if they say something else, well, that's not really a fandom, that's a cult.
Yeah, it kind of is. I mean, I think we probably talked about this before, that I heard that the Facebook page for ElfQuest is not really, it's not where you want to go if you want to have criticisms of the comic, because apparently even Richard Pinney himself will get on there and jump up and down on critiques. And I'm like, oh, no, don't do that.
You don't want the creator doing that ever. Not ever. Just pay for somebody to handle your social media accounts. Do not interact directly to have arguments with the fans.
No. And a lot of people, I mean, I've heard this before, like a lot of actors and various celebrities, even artists, they don't get on social media just for that reason. And I think we need to normalize doing that kind of thing more often.
We do. Yes. If I were a celebrity, I don't know that I would even have a computer in my house. I'd be so scared of having to deal with public opinion. Seriously. I can't handle criticism.
No. But yeah, it was, I mean, all in all, I mean, it was so nice that everybody's happy. I mean, the author just really wanted everybody to be in a good place. And I like that.
Yes, because everyone was asking, how did it all turn out? They're fine.
Yes.
I can't say that enough times. Everybody's fine.
Yes. So now that we don't have our every other week Lore Olympus, we'll have to do at least one more big fan art post. And so I'm going to be wandering all all over Instagram tonight, just looking for all of the fan art, because I haven't been able to do it for a while, because I checked, and yeah, there were some spoiler images on Instagram right now. I'm like, guys, don't do that.
Yeah, okay, so now I'm going to look around too, so I'm sure there's some gorgeous stuff. And the Lore Olympians, and I think Rachel herself on her Instagram account, they will share fan art and also cosplay, and there's some amazing stuff out there, but they've both been very good at not sharing spoiler images, so it's been safe to look at those.
Yes, yes. So, other than that, the only thing I wanted to mention real quick, in case you're wondering, yeah, we're still watching Skibidi Toilets, and we still think it's pretty amazing, to be honest.
And it's getting more and more epic as time goes on. The episodes are getting longer, and there's actually dialogue every once in a while, and all of this stuff happening with, like, the backdrop of how we think the Skibidi Toilets might have been created in the first place. And, yeah, it's violent, but always fun. That's something I want to do some fan art of, because they've got the three female characters, the TV woman, the speaker woman, and the camera woman. Mm-hmm. And there was a shot of all of them, like, in their ready pose when an attack was about to happen. And I'm like, I want to draw that, because I love all of those characters.
So cool. I wouldn't mind drawing one of the Titans, maybe like the TV-headed Titan. It's just so epic. But the animator of this, I think he does best with those kind of, like, really, really huge guns destroying things. I mean, this particular roar that it sounds, I mean, it shakes my phone when it comes over. It's just impressive. But he's just, I don't know. And I ran across somebody, I don't know, there was somebody who was talking about their kid was into Skibidi Toilet, and all these people were saying, oh, I watched it, and it's the stupidest thing I've ever heard, and all this kind of stuff. I'm like, okay, you guys, if you're only looking at, like, the first few episodes, I agree. Sort of. It is really weird for the sake of being weird. It's off-putting. It's meant to be off-putting. You gotta give it some time.
You do. You have to watch more than the first few episodes. As soon as the camera people start showing up, that's when you start getting the story, because I really think that those first few episodes were an exercise in the uncanny valley, and just like, how unsettling could they push that? And then they started asking themselves some questions about what would happen if you flushed the Skibidi Toilets, and who would be doing that. And if we're seeing everybody from this one point of view, maybe that means that the person's point of view is a gigantic camera for a head. And just, it never stops being weird, but it does start having a coherent storyline.
Yes, yes. But it also never stops being violent. And the most recent episode, I want to say, like, episode 74, super violent, like, you know, and also, we got to see, spoilers, we got to see actual people, like, on their way to becoming Skibidi Toilets. Ooh, I thought that was awfully unsettling.
Yeah, and I think in this latest episode, episode 74, we may have lost a major character. Mm-hmm. So the stakes are pretty high for a bizarre-ass cartoon about sentient toilets fighting mechanized people.
Yeah, it's so weird. But man, every time a new episode drops, we're, like, texting each other. We're like, this is a new Skibidi Toilet!
Yay! So the only other thing I wanted to talk about was Nathan and I decided to queue up another episode of Mayor of Kingstown to watch on Amazon Prime, and they've put season one behind a paywall.
Oh,
now
damn.
Have to get a Paramount subscription, and that would be okay because you could get a week's free subscription, but we have 8 more episodes to watch of the first season, and I'm like, unless we commit to doing it every single night and one night watching 2 episodes in a row, I do not want this to be a project. So yeah. I may decide to, like, buy a couple of individual episodes and then do the free pass. But I'm just like, it must be because the third season's getting ready to drop or has already dropped.
It has dropped. Yeah, it just dropped the day before yesterday. So yeah,
that's probably when, damn it, I knew I should have queued something up earlier than that, but
I'll tell you what, though. I paid for the $5.99 a month membership because I got to catch up on some Star Trek, too, and everything. The $5.99 membership, though, has ads, and you just don't realize how much you just haven't been dealing with ads until suddenly it's like, I mean, it's like every 8 minutes or so, and you got like 4 or 5 ads, and I know, first world problems, whatever. I could just pay for the bigger membership, but I don't want to, but yeah, whatever. If you do pay for the membership, just know that you're going to get ads. However, I think if you buy the episodes, you won't get ads.
Oh, well, how many seasons of the Picard TV series did you actually watch? Did you watch all 3?
I just started the 3rd and final season, and I watched the 1st episode. It's fine. you know?
Okay, yeah. The Red Letter Media guys talked about that, and they actually recommend to people who have never watched the Picard series, start with season 3. They were very happy with season 3. They were not very happy with seasons 1 and 2.
No, neither was I. I mean, I didn't think it was terrible, but I just took so long for me to get through because I just didn't care. But yeah, so far the first episode, I don't think of, you know, you maybe need a couple pieces of information, but even then, not really. Just be like, hey, guess what? Picard's living on his winery. There you go. And he gets a message. Done, you know? So,
and they actually, like, put him in one of the earlier seasons, they put Picard in an artificial body, I think, or something, and then they never bring it up ever again, I don't think.
I'm waiting to see if that certainly hasn't come up in this season, but I've only seen the first episode. But yeah, no, that's exactly what they did. I mean, it's like, if I remember right, and I was kind of rolling my eyes while this was going on, it is a clone body, I suppose, like an artificial, like kind of like Data, except like a really... the advanced version of Data, but it apparently has a human lifespan, I suppose, so he won't live
so
for, like,
they can
forever.
Just like, we made this great big change that will not really affect anything, and you could just go ahead and forget, which is like, there's a long tradition of that in Star Trek. I mean, I read a Puff article one time about how, you know, these are the storylines that almost killed Star Trek, and they didn't, but they were just ones that they did a storyline, and then somebody decided, you know what, this is going to make it too difficult, so we're going to pretend this didn't happen. Like, they had a whole episode about somebody proving that the warp drives were causing tears in the fabric of the universe, so they were going to have to institute a policy where you never went over a certain amount of warp, like a warp 4 or something like that, because then you would destroy the universe. And I think they made like one mention of it in a later episode, and then everyone was like, shh, just pretend that's not happening.
This is fine. This is fine. Yeah, they also pointed out, like, when Dr. Pulaski, I guess, they had to beam her up because she had gotten this virus that was turning her old or something, but they got a piece of her original DNA from her hairbrush and was able to use the transporter to transport her back and fix her. And you're like, this could change medicine in the Star Trek universe forever. Except it was never brought up again.
Never brought up again. Yeah. Oh, they really wrote themselves into a corner with that one. Because I think everybody jumped on at that. Then nobody ever needs to die because you just save a little piece of your earlier young, perfect DNA and run through a transporter.
Yeah. But no, that wouldn't be good. But anyway, yeah, it's all been fine so far. And second season of Mayor of Kingstown, I finished it. And it was also fine, not up to the level of the first season. I just watched the first episode of the third season last night, and it seems to be a little bit closer to season one. I kind of like the sort of the direction and the feel of it, so I don't know, maybe. But the thing is, it's being released like one a week, so I can't binge it right now because it just came out. So I'm like, okay. So anyway. But I guess that is going to wrap us up for the week. So make sure to check out pixelatedgeek.com for all the book reviews, the movie reviews, the comic book reviews, the fan art galleries. We are going to have a fan art gallery for Lore Olympus coming up. We promise.
Yes, absolutely. We've got to have something to fill that extra time until we find something else we can alternate with a Welcome to Night Vale.
Yeah, or until Rachel does something new or continues Lore Olympus in another format, maybe. So
maybe.
Anyway, all that and more, pixelatedgeek.com. So next week, we do have Welcome to Night Vale. I believe
the
episode just dropped day before yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And then possibly more Mayor of Kingstown if you guys steal yourself to actually pay for it or something.
Yes. It's kind of first world problems trying to pay money to watch my entertainment, damn it.
But one way or the other, we will talk to everybody in 1 week.
Talk to you later.
you know, giant Gaia and all of her, you know,
And Hera seems to be very happy, and you see a picture of her dancing. Let me try that again. Cat.
She was having a relationship with Artemis, so it seems like the But she was having a relationship with Athena. I almost said Artemis again. Athena.